Thanks for listening to The Drive with Big Al and D-Mac, on demand, brought to you by SEL Mortgage, the leaders in Colorado of special circumstance lending, helping everyone, including people with unusual financing needs. Locally owned and operated, visit myspecialmortgage.com. That's myspecialmortgage.com.
It's a Bud Light Football Friday presented by Blake Street Tavern. Bud Light, official beer sponsor of the Denver Broncos.
Big Al and D-Mac's big story of the day is brought to you by Plumbers Local 3.
104.3 The Fan presents Big Al and D-Mac with the big story of the day.
Well, Baker Mayfield, here you go. Just the way you like it. Center stage, national TV, down 14-0, a minute 42 in the half. The loudest cheer of the night is happening right now. And number down in five, Mayfield shotgun from his own 40-yard line, takes the snap. Back, looking, plenty of time. He's up in the pocket. Now he's running right. He got away. Now he turns. Now he fires, and it's caught on the far side with a flag down right below us. The Browns can tie if they get the two. And Joku goes out wide to the right. Callaway, near side of the left. Higgins and Landry are in tighter on the right side. And Joku motions. The running back is Duke Johnson, and Mayfield is in a pistol formation right now. And now he's running away from center, and the snap goes to Duke Johnson. Then they flip it around. Then they throw it, and Mayfield caught it! And with great pride, I say, the Browns are in victory formation. Baker Mayfield takes a knee. Count it down.
The Cleveland Browns. It's been a long since they won a game, so last night was exciting out there. It was fun to watch, no doubt about it.
And they find themselves in a situation where they are still in, you know, in the race there in the AFC North.
Clearly,
I mean, it's funny that we can sit here and talk about the. What is it, 635 days they've gone without winning a game? But yet they've only lost one game this year and tied another one.
There you go.
1-1-1.
There you go.
That team is a good defensive football team. I said as much yesterday, and I believe the day after seeing what they did to the Jets, and once they got a little momentum going offensively, that's a good defensive football team. And Baker Mayfield makes them a good football team.
It's a tough moment for
Sam Darnold.
Oh, God, no. Sam, he'll be fine. He's the youngest quarterback in NFL history to throw for 300 yards. He got a win on his first start. Sam Darnold will be fine. Let's not forget how much younger he actually is than Baker Mayfield. Yeah, you know, they just couldn't really put it all together in the second half. They only got a field goal, but I've got no worries about Sam Darnold. Now, what we saw last night was really exciting. We saw a battle of two great quarterbacks who should be in this league for a long, long time and should be very successful, both of them. The game itself was just listen, man, I got no beefs with Tyrod. He just couldn't, and the crowd was brutal on him.
I know.
It was definitely
he had a concussion, right? I mean, I saw the play where he went down. Did they say it was a concussion, or were they just done with Tyrod Taylor?
I think it was a little bit of both.
Right.
I thought it was a classy move by Hugh Jackson, although a little, you know, kind of roll your eyes moment after the game that says, well, you know, we'll have to go back and look at the tape. I think all he's doing is trying to be respectful to Tyrod, which is it's a fine thing to do right after the game. Nobody makes pronouncements like that right after games. But obviously, Baker Mayfield will be named the starter for the next 12 to 15 years for Cleveland. And he's going to be awesome. Everything about him leading into the year said he was going to be awesome,
right.
And then he just stepped up and was awesome.
Yeah, he was. It was no debate about his talent. The only debate was his height. You know, who was gonna take a quarterback that was 6'1"? The last time it was done, Michael Vick, 6'1" or under. Michael Vick. That's it. First pick in the draft, by the way. Both guys first picks. In the draft, the only two quarterbacks to be that short drafted in the first round of the NFL draft.
Hey, hashtag,
both first picks.
Hashtag Baker Challenge. But you proved every.
Hashtag Baker Challenge.
Listen, man, there aren't many haters in Cleveland. They friggin' love you. I mean, he is a hero in Cleveland today. We'll see what, you know, the future brings, but clearly it was, you know, it was enough time. Like, it's clearly enough time for Josh Rosen to get in the mix with Arizona at this point. So, I don't know. It was awesome. It was exciting start to finish. I'm not going to lie. I felt a certain sense of validation because I was screaming about Baker Mayfield for like a year about how it would be incredible to get him here with the Broncos. And then I kind of stopped screaming about it because it was pretty obvious he was going to be the number one overall pick.
Yes! Told you so! Told you so!
I'm listening to him. Did you hear Mike Evans this morning?
I didn't. What did he say?
Fix Sexy, do we have that yet? Are you tracking it down? I mean, it's one thing to, like, have an opinion that, you know, you were down on. Our morning show was just down on Baker Mayfield from the get-go. I mean, with everything.
Not me. I thought he was a great quarterback, but I didn't think that. Nobody would draft him in the first round.
You laughed at the pick on the draft day.
You know why? Because it is unusual, D-Mac. We just don't have any history of this. Even as good as Drew Brees was in college, he went in the second round. I'm just giving you the honest truth about size. If size doesn't matter,
Size does not matter.
Okay.
Well, Mayfield talked about that, by the way, last night. He said the game is less physical than it used to be. He's right. He says the game is, you know, more set up for mobile guys. He's right. The game is changed. It's just different than it used to be. So a player like him fits in well, and he's right. And his accuracy is just awesome.
Should have threw a couple picks last night, but, you know, you got to catch him. Do one in the end zone. It should have been intercepted
okay.
for sure.
I thought he was just hitting really tight windows.
Oh, I tell you what, the guy is talented. And that's the one thing that we said when we were at the Senior Bowl. It was clear that the best passer on the field was Baker Mayfield.
I heard Sting say, well, you know, I couldn't be at the Senior Bowl, and I understand that. But we were at the Senior Bowl.
Right.
We told you that week the best player out here is Baker Mayfield,
whether he plays in the game or not. No doubt about it.
But here's what cracked me up this morning. Here is Mike Evans, my man. I love Mike. Mike and I will be at Sports Column, as we are for road games at 9 a.m. doing the Fan Football pregame show. But talk about petty. Listen to what Mike had to say this morning.
Browns Radio, congratulations. Really, congratulations. It was fun to watch. And I have so much respect for a great sports town like Cleveland. So to see those long-suffering Browns fans finally be able to enjoy a victory was great. But I'm going to be completely honest with you, Mark. I'm watching Baker Mayfield and Sam Darnold, and I'm rooting for them to look bad. I just am.
Mm.
And you know why? Because so much is riding on what happens with these young quarterbacks. The quarterbacks that the Broncos could have drafted. The quarterbacks that the Broncos could have tried to move up to get.
That's right.
The decision to go with somebody like Case Keenum instead. It's a referendum on the Broncos and how they handled their quarterback decisions these past off season. That if you want to see the Broncos come out of this looking good, I want these young quarterbacks to look bad or to look ordinary or to look mediocre. Is that bad?
Yeah.
Is that bad?
Yes.
Well, it is bad because neither of those quarterbacks were going to be available for the Broncos.
Well, you could
trade it up.
Well, no. Hey, listen, if you looked at Baker Mayfield last night and you said, and you came away believing this guy is going to be something special.
That's right.
Well, then, yeah, you move heaven and earth to get him.
Right. There it is. There's the ultimate Chubbaholic statement right there. I'm rooting for the quarterbacks to do poorly so that my theory on what the Broncos should do by staying away from quarterbacks is correct. Mike, I love you, pal, but that's about as small and petty as you get.
Watching Baker Mayfield and Sam Darnold, and I'm rooting for them to look bad.
Oof.
I'm not. I just know that a good quarterback class, you know, will always be had at some level in this league, but to say that this is the last one? No.
No, but this is probably this is probably a quarterback class that you're going to compare in history to 1983.
Yeah, but to say that you know, there were no great quarterbacks after 1983, you would be terribly wrong about that
statement. That is true. The difference is the variety of quarterbacks to choose from who are all going to be fantastic for you is not as high as it was in 1983 and probably won't be next year or years to follow. Well, that doesn't mean there aren't going to be good quarterbacks coming out. Of course there will be. But the opportunity for the Broncos to do something in order to grab the guy of their dreams was there like it will hopefully never be there again. I mean, unless we're drafting four or five again sometime soon, and I hope that's not the case.
Yeah, and you know, one of the guys that I'm really paying attention to this year is Drew Lock from Missouri, the guy who I thought last year was going to turn it on and be special and enter into the NFL draft, but he didn't. The senior in Missouri he's got one of the liveliest arms, and he looks like the Patrick Mahomes type of passer. You know what I'm saying? The way the ball just zips out of his hand. But, you know, this is the NFL, man. You know, like you said, like Sports Illustrated, they're going to make another 25-year-old to fit the counter next year, or the cover.
Yeah, but are they going to make five of them?
Maybe.
You never know.
You know, but once again,
if they're going to make five of them, though, guess what? The odds that they're really good, they'll probably look a lot more like Baker Mayfield. So probably get your head around that.
Right. I mean, to think that a 6 foot, you know, 6 foot quarterback is your guy. A 6 foot quarterback is your guy, and you're going to take him in the first round.
Well, Alfred, Case Keenum is not exactly a giant.
He was undrafted also.
I mean, if undrafted,
D-Mac.
If Case Keenum and Baker Mayfield are staying in back-to-back, I bet it's a push.
Undrafted, though, D-Mac, that's what I'm saying. All-time leading passer in the history of college football went undrafted. So that's why I tell you that when Cleveland drafted him, I laughed because it has never been done except once before, and it was Michael Vick.
So hats off to John Dorsey for going against...
Because Denzel Ward is a straight-up baller.
Denzel Ward made a great play, too, and looks like the truth as well. And he's in a position where, you know, they do have Myles Garrett there, so they already do have a good, effective pass rush there for Cleveland. What they didn't have was somebody dynamic on the outside at corner, and Denzel Ward won Rookie of the Week his first week. He made a huge play last night. Huge play. A very veteran type of play last night, and he's a freaky athlete.
He is.
It looks like John Dorsey, and you know what? Nick Chubb is, you know, he's just in the mix there. They're not relying on him too much, but he's solid. John Dorsey, you know, I read about John Dorsey and how he did the draft. He had three guys independently that he trusted go out and do their own research on the quarterbacks. So he had three guys that he trusted on their own, not working together, and then he brought them all into a room. And when he brought them all into a room, each one of them said their best quarterback was Baker Mayfield.
Yeah.
And so what John Dorsey did is he set up a process. He trusted his process. And when every single thing pointed to one player, he went with it. That, my friends, is a good GM. That's a guy getting it done.
Yeah, you heard us both. You heard us both last year say that Baker Mayfield was clearly the best quarterback at the Senior Bowl. I just didn't think nobody would do what Cleveland did and take him first overall.
I remember the entire process when the first draft sort of analysis came out, and it was, hey, he may be available early in the second round.
Right.
And I was like,
that's the guy.
That's talk about a no-brainer. I was like, that is unbelievable. So then I, you know, started paying more attention to it, and it was just like, it was just getting better and better and better and better. And after a while, I was like, oh my God, Al, there's no way he's going to go in the second round. But boy, would he be a great pick for the Broncos at five. And it was like that for a while. And then it got better and better and better and better until a couple weeks before the draft, it was like, oh my God, there's no way the Broncos... There's not only is there no way they're going to get him, but Cleveland's not going to do a deal to give up him. That's how much they were in love with him. So to Mark Schlereth's point, to get Baker Mayfield, I'll agree with you, would have been impossible. I don't think there's anything you could have offered Cleveland to get Baker Mayfield. However,
size doesn't matter at quarterback anymore.
However, to think the Broncos couldn't have done something to move up to two or make a deal with the Jets to move to three is preposterous. Of course they could have. They could have if they wanted to. The fact of the matter is they didn't really want to, and I think they may have thought Josh Rosen was going to go to the Jets.
They may have thought that. Yeah, you're right, because you who would you take number one if you're not taking Baker Mayfield? Who would you take number one? Denzel Ward?
Who are you talking about?
If you're the Browns, you take Saquon
Barkley.
No,
they were taking Baker Mayfield. It was all Baker Mayfield. 2 weeks before the draft, it was just done. It was Baker Mayfield.
I know, but I'm just saying. But
there are zero other options.
Hold on. It never made sense for them to take Saquon Barkley because they got Carlos Hyde in free agency.
Who are you talking about?
About the Browns.
No. The Browns loved Baker Mayfield. I'm just saying,
but they took care of the running back position. So there was no,
I don't care what other position they took care of. They love Baker Mayfield, period. It wasn't dependent on anything.
No. If there was some, either way it goes, they got a good young quarterback. 6 foot tall quarterback. I don't know the next time we'll see a 6 foot tall quarterback go first pick in the NFL draft, but they got a great one.
All right,
I mean, the guy was a great college
football player. So the Broncos.
Great college football player, and he looks like he is a. He's going to be a treat to watch as a Cleveland Brown. And don't forget, man, last night ratings, D-Mac, boy, were they good. The best, well, what was it, Big Sexy, the best ratings in Thursday night football?
It was the highest rated Thursday night football game since December of 2015.
So what they're saying, what we're saying to you is Baker Mayfield is not only a good quarterback, he is a bona fide star.
Bona fide star.
Bona fide.
Darnold is too. But Baker Mayfield's even
better. We've seen Sam Darnold play before. Didn't they play on the Monday night to start the season?
It was the combination.
Or something like that.
It was as if we were watching John Elway and Dan Marino play the first time against each other.
Right, and I said Peyton Manning and Tom Brady.
Yeah, but they weren't in the same draft. You got to pick out two guys in the same draft.
Well, I'm just saying, Tom Brady had
no hype. Sam Darnold and Baker Mayfield are in the same class. They're two picks away from each other. Yes. It's like Marino and Elway or Marino and, well, no, hold on. Kelly went to the, Gamblers
USFL.
Or whatever. It's really like Elway and Marino. When was the first time John Elway and Dan Marino faced off? It must have been unbelievable. This is what we saw last night, which is so cool, man. So cool. Last night, the NFL was cool. It was fun. The fans were unbelievable. J.R. Smith's taking his shirt off again, shooting videos of himself.
Let me ask you this.
I mean, it was awesome.
Let me ask you this.
In Cleveland.
Let me ask you this. Why all the congratulations to the Cleveland Browns from the outside sporting community?
Because people feel sorry for teams that just lose.
Oh, okay. Because you feel sorry for them. That's why.
Yeah.
Okay.
Nobody wants to see somebody lose every game.
Did you tweet? Congratulations at Cleveland Browns.
Did I? No. But I was pumped.
I mean, I
was excited.
I want to see this team as bad as they can be. We play this team.
Yeah, no kidding. That game's not quite the walkover that we thought it was going to be.
Right. We play this team Saturday, December 15th.
Maybe Terod will make a comeback for that game. The odds of us, of the Broncos beating the Browns with Terod are much higher than with Baker Mayfield. Dude's for real.
This team should be 3-0. Bottom line, the team should be 3-0.
Had they played Baker Mayfield, they'd probably be 3-0.
No. All they have to do is make field goals, D-Mac. I mean,
and play Baker Mayfield.
Dude, I mean, they didn't play the best quarterback, Al. Dude, they had a 35-yard field goal to win the game against the Pittsburgh Steelers in week one.
Yeah, I gotcha.
And then last week when they were playing the Saints, they had that game won. They had it won.
Who, in your opinion, is a better NFL quarterback right now? Terod Taylor or Baker Mayfield?
I don't know. I don't have enough information about Baker Mayfield.
I'd say it's Baker Mayfield based on last night.
Look, I mean, you also had a kicker last night who made extra points.
Mm-hmm.
You saw a kicker last night make field goals. As a matter of fact, he had two field goals, and he made extra points. So I don't know. I guess I'm trying to get around to saying is that the kicker made as much of a difference as Baker Mayfield did.
This is the Rob Johnson, Doug Flutie argument, where I would just simply say, had you just played Doug Flutie instead of Rob Johnson, you wouldn't have had the Music City Miracle because
you'd been up by so many points.
So I'd make the argument, if you just played the better quarterback, which in my opinion is Baker Mayfield, you would be 3-0. Heck, he's so good, you might have been 4-0. in just three games. It was a lot of fun. And anybody who doubts the importance of quarterback over any other position is nuts. It's nuts. And if you have a chance and you have a need to find somebody like that and you have an opportunity and you don't do it, my man.
You get the quarterbacks that you get.
You know what? If you don't do that, you'll get another chance sometime soon.
You will.
You'll get another chance sometime soon. Because that means you're going to be lousy again, and it's going to come back to bite you eventually. You can only fill yourself with free agents for so long at quarterback. I like Case Keenum, for sure. I like him for sure. But Baker Mayfield looked 10,000 times better than Case Keenum last night compared to Case Keenum in the first couple games.
You got
to
stop. You got to stop, man. You really got to stop.
Who looked better last? Who looked better playing in the NFL, Baker Mayfield or Case Keenum?
Case Keenum. He's undefeated.
Win. So is Baker Mayfield.
Yeah. We have two wins. They have one.
Yeah. Okay.
So I like the guy with two wins more than I like the guy with one win.
In fact, Case Keenum was so bad in the first half last week, you could just compare their two halves, I guess.
Hey, maybe it was also the receivers weren't as good as they needed to be to get the first downs that they came up a half a yard short on.
By the way, is it just me, Mike Evans, or is Jarvis Landry the best football player, non-quarterback, in the NFL? I know he dropped the one in his chest,
he had
but
two drops.
He is spectacular. Is Jarvis Landry the best receiver in the NFL?
Jarvis Landry is not the best receiver in the NFL.
If he's not, he's got to be up there at least.
Dude, if you're asking me Jarvis Landry or Julio Jones,
I might take Jarvis Landry.
You're asking me Jarvis Landry or Antonio Brown?
I'd much rather have Jarvis Landry on my team than Antonio Brown, but that's another sort of matter.
Okay.
So what do we learn from the Broncos? And I heard the morning show too, and they're right about this as well. There is pressure on Bradley Chubb to, you know.
It's always pressure on you if you're a first-round draft pick. It doesn't matter who went before you or after you. It doesn't matter.
It's natural that he's going to be compared to Denzel Ward, Sam Darnold.
It doesn't matter.
Saquon Barkley and Baker Mayfield.
And it doesn't matter.
He is going to be compared to those guys.
But the bottom line is, if you have pride in what you're doing, it doesn't matter where you're picked. Long as you get a chance to showcase who you are, things will start to come to you.
Yeah, but hold on. Alfred, aren't you expecting, based on the extraordinary debut of all those other guys around him, that Bradley Chubb should be one of those guys as well?
He's a starter on a team that's 2-0.
There's a lot of starters that are on teams that are 2-0. You don't think he should be something special?
Not this year.
Okay.
And like I said, you know, when he was drafted,
like he should.
You know, the talk and the conversation, 10 sacks for Bradley Chubb. And I was like, why? He doesn't profile like Vaughn. He doesn't profile like that. He profiles like a guy like Terrell Suggs, a guy that we're going to see this weekend.
Did the Browns make the right move drafting Denzel Ward instead of Bradley Chubb?
Yes.
Why?
Because they needed a shutdown corner, and that secondary is unbelievable. That secondary for the Browns is unbelievable.
What did the Broncos?
Did you see what they did to Drew Brees?
What did the Broncos need the most? If that's what they needed the most, what did the Broncos need the most?
We probably needed a cornerback too after Aqib Talib.
So why didn't we draft a cornerback?
Because the outside linebacker was the highest rated guy on the board.
So we just auto draft. Yes. Thank you. That's cool.
You just don't see some of the, and remember now, Bradley Chubb is not the short game. He's the long game.
Oh, so is Baker Mayfield. So is Sam Darnold.
I don't know.
So is Saquon Barkley. So is Quentin Nelson.
So is
Josh Allen. So is Josh Rosen.
The long game doesn't show itself necessarily early. It's what happens when he understands what this league is about. Doesn't understand what this league is about.
Give me a player in the top 10 that's not part of the long game for their NFL team.
All of them are projected to be the long game.
Of course.
But I'm saying for you to
I'm
to
not
get
putting
the,
him down. I knew what the no, deal no, was no, when
no,
they
no,
got
no,
him.
Not to put him down, but to say that you were going to have instant success. And I warned against that because he's not that kind of body. He's not that kind of body type. He's not that kind of athlete. He's built to play outside linebacker for the Denver Broncos for 12 to 15 years. Solid player, 12 to 15 years. If you don't like it, you know, I don't know. It doesn't certainly, he does not profile like Von Miller. And I've been saying that for the longest. He does not profile like a guy that's going to go to multiple Pro Bowls, have a lot of all pros, and be a guy that's going to be the NFL Defensive Player of the Year. No, you have a solid player that you don't have to worry about for 12 to 15 years.
All right, we'll take a break. It's a Fired Up Football Friday. There's one person on the staff that thinks the Ravens are going to lose. I wonder if Zach's the only one, but we'll dig through it. Plus, the Rockies have it's now or never. Now or never. They've got that on deck with Arizona tonight. It's The Drive on the Fan.
Sandy Clef here to tell you about SCL Mortgage, special circumstance lending, locally owned and operated. And if you're self-employed or work on commission, this is the place for you. Bank statement loans are back. You don't need tax returns to do your loan. In some cases, the bank statement loans can be done with credit scores in the low 600s. MySpecialMortgage.com on the web. 303-790-2222, the phone number. SCL Mortgage, licensed by the Colorado Department of Regulatory Agencies, number 1200716.
To Bud Light Football Friday. Bud Light, official beer sponsor of the Denver Broncos. It's Big Al and D-Mac with the Big Three. Presented by Sam's Number 3 Diner and Bar.
Alfred, after the incredible performance of Baker Mayfield last night, I've had a couple people reach out to me and say, isn't Swag Kelly, Chad Kelly, our version of Baker Mayfield? So let me ask you, could Chad Kelly be our version of Baker Mayfield?
Sure.
Does he have the same qualities as Baker Mayfield?
He's got a strong arm. He's unafraid of the moment, and he looks to be a gamer.
High accuracy?
Yeah, I mean, the guy. Yeah, I mean, sure. I think that's accurate.
What's the big difference?
The big difference is that you're not going to see, Kelly until something disastrous happened.
Bongos.
Three. Let me ask you this, man. In all honesty, in looking at these quarterback battles around the NFL, there's one that is about to come quite sticky. The situation is going to be quite sticky. Ryan Fitzpatrick in Tampa Bay and Jameis Winston, former first pick in the NFL draft, Jameis Winston. Now that the Buccaneers are 2-0.
Yeah.
Even if they lose this game.
Ooh, if they lose.
Even if they lose
home,
this game.
Do you insert
a guy like Jameis Winston? DeSean Jackson said there's no way you can insert Jameis Winston in his offense the way that Ryan Fitzpatrick is playing. And if he's saying that, I'm imagining that everybody else on the team is thinking that. But he's the first pick in the NFL draft and your future. What do you do?
Well, how do they lose to Pittsburgh? How did they lose?
A field goal.
It's a close game. How many points are on the board?
34 to 35.
And then you got to keep playing Fitzmagic if it's like that. I mean, you can't stop.
Oh, my goodness.
So
you just basically...
If he puts up 34 points...
Well, then let me ask you this. Is your next intent to trade Jameis Winston?
Oh, boy.
You see what I'm saying? That may be the hardest decision of all the ones that are out there available. Tyrod Taylor is only on a one-year deal. No matter what, he was going to be gone after this year.
Yeah.
Ryan Fitzpatrick is there as a backup, but his swag, his confidence, and that team have gotten off to a scary start.
Yeah.
I mean, they have blown people out.
Yeah.
What do you do with Jameis Winston?
Well, I think you got to see how this game goes.
Even if they lose, D-Mac.
Well, if they lose 35-34, then that's a quarterback win. But if they lose 35-10, it's like, you know.
Right.
If they win, and Pittsburgh has had some issues, there's no doubt about it. It's a fun game to watch. It's a great storyline. And I can see where people are down on Jameis Winston for good reasons, too.
Okay, bongos.
Bongos, but I like Jameis Winston.
Three!
I get it. Al, in terms of the Ravens, what do you think the Broncos will struggle with the most?
The weather.
The weather, explain.
There's an 80% chance of rain and a temperature of around 65 degrees out in Baltimore.
Okay, keep going. Why is that such a problem?
Well, for a team that, you know, they're clearly their weakness is defending the pass in a game where it's raining and the field conditions won't be great, do you really want to throw the football around in those kind of conditions?
Shouldn't that work to the Broncos' favor?
No, because the quarterback has to grip the ball.
Okay.
I mean, it may not be an issue, but the only thing that I can see that would be an issue is the rain. I mean, nobody's going to be talking about it.
Why does the rain, like, favor the Ravens more than the Broncos?
Because they're a team that's built to play in November and December.
Such as, like, why?
Oh, big, strong, a slower. They don't have explosive players on defense. They have big guys, sluggers. They have sluggers, okay? We have guys that are nimble, quick, and explosive. They have guys that are big, strong, and hard to move. So in a game where it's going to be raining, that's the biggest problem that I see.
All right, Bongos.
Three!
All right. It's happening in Seattle, and I told you it would be. The Seattle Seahawks are starting to say that Brian Schottenheimer, their offensive coordinator, is awful. Hey, man.
Okay.
Hey, listen, man. All it takes me is a couple games to check out who you are as a coordinator. Certainly Brian Schottenheimer is no Daryl Bevel.
Okay.
And I know that people were upset for the play that was called on the goal line in that game for the Super Bowl when the interception was thrown. But clearly, that guy is a much better coordinator for Russell Wilson. Do you understand my premise now that great coaches make great players look good? Because Russell Wilson does not look good right now.
And this is all Schottenheimer's fault?
Brian Schottenheimer is the offensive coordinator. Did they do anything to you that was...
I think they're just going through a massive rebuilding process. But if you want to tell me it's the play calling, fine.
Did you see the play calling against the Bears?
I did. Watched the whole game.
It was bad. Nothing's hot about the Seattle Seahawks right now, and you can thank their offensive coordinator for that.
All right. Bongos.
Maybe the first coach fired.
Is that your prediction?
He may be the first coach fired.
Not Mike McCoy in Arizona?
Mike McCoy may be fired first. You know what? Both teams
They didn't get the ball over the 50-yard line until there was 30 seconds left in the game.
But they don't have a Hall of Fame trending quarterback there.
Yeah, so what, Al? I mean, come on.
Mike McCoy could be the first one to be fired.
You can't get the ball over the 50?
And they started talking about, one thing. What did they start talking about out there in Arizona?
Too complicated. Playbook's too complicated.
Sound familiar? Yep. Told you so.
Will Mike McCoy still be coaching Arizona October 18th?
We need him to.
It's the Drive on the Fan.
It's a Bud Light Football Friday. Bud Light, game day's favorite light lager. Here's Big Al and T-Mac.
T-Mac, I have to ask you this. I know we didn't get around to it, during the Big 3 at 3:30, but...
Yeah.
Brent Musburger.
How's that gambling fool doing these days? How's that octogenarian degenerate doing? Octodegenerate. I didn't realize what a degenerate gambler he really was. Amen.
So, Musburger.
Go ahead, sorry. I bet this has to do with gambling, and I don't even know
the story.
No doubt about it.
All right, correctly predicted the Browns win during the appearance on the Rich Eisen show. And the VSIN gambling experts gave four more picks for this weekend.
Okay.
Listen, man.
That's interesting.
Listen.
People might not know what we're talking about. Brent Musburger, if you don't know, has been a lifelong gambler. And recently...
Broadcaster. He's known for his broadcasting more than anything.
But in just... He has...
Over the last year, he's just said... Forget it, man. I'm not going to try to hide this anymore.
He lives in Vegas.
I love gambling. He moved to Vegas.
He moved to Vegas, and he works for a gambling service in terms of doing broadcasts or some sort of internet thing about gambling issues. Now, I think he's also doing the play-by-play for the Raiders radio.
Yes, he does the play-by-play for the Raiders, and he's running a gambling service.
How does that match?
It's just who he is, man.
How does that match, though? I mean, seriously, how does that match with the NFL?
Vegas. It's Vegas.
I think everybody understands that there may be a little action going on every weekend across the different sporting leagues and in football season. But this guy actually is overstepping the bounds like I've never seen before in my football watching history.
I didn't know all this about Brent Musburger until a couple years ago when I saw a story about what he's doing, and my jaw was just on the floor. But anyways, that's who he is. So what's the story? I'm sorry.
No, the question is, how is he allowed to do this as the Raiders?
Well, what's what are his picks? What are the games?
I have no idea. But I mean, the fact that he is.
Oh, it's like, call my phone number and get my picks?
I think so. I'm not sure, but, I mean, what is going on here?
It's legal.
Are we okay with broadcasters talking about gambling that are also part of in-game evaluation and inside access to players and information that nobody else gets?
It would be like
Dave Logan.
You're okay in Oakland. Knows, in Las Vegas, you're okay.
But it'd be like Dave Logan is getting all this inside information about the Broncos, their game plan, and what they intend to do. Yeah. And then you take it, evaluate it, and then you go talk to the other coaches. If you're on the national broadcast, but he's only doing the Raiders this year.
Yeah, he's just doing.
He's only doing the Raiders this year. Half of the story. You know that Pete Rose and, you know, I don't know, man. It feels icky, man, for me.
Well, whenever you run across a degenerate gambler, it feels a little icky. I mean, that's who they are. They're degenerate gamblers.
Well, you know that they're degenerate gamblers. It's okay if they gamble in my eyes. What is not okay is that they have a clear association with an NFL team and is on the broadcast.
It's in Vegas.
What do you mean?
Who cares?
Okay, I guess.
He doesn't have information. What information does he have about the Raiders that nobody else does?
If he's at practice, he can see all the trick plays.
He's not at practice, though. He lives in Vegas, and they're in Oakland.
Yeah, but it's not.
And he's going to be like 90. Dude is old.
How old is Brent Musburger?
He's not going to. By the way, the Jay Glazers of the world, you realize they just show up, and they can go watch basically any NFL practice they want.
Not normally.
No.
Not normally. But, I mean, he did with John Fox. He wouldn't do that with Vance Joseph.
Okay, but I'm just saying.
He knows John Fox really well.
There are journalists that have access to. What do you really learn in a practice anyways? Come on now.
Oh.
Come on, man.
Man, if you take a trained NFL guy and you drop him into an NFL practice, he'll know exactly what your plan is about two periods.
I don't know. You know, the whole injury report. That's why injury reports exist, by the way, to stop stuff like that. You know, and every team has to do them. That's why they're such a big deal.
But if you're at practice, you can see whether or not a guy is going or not going.
Yeah, but we can see that, too, by showing up for the first 15 minutes. You can see that.
I don't know, man. It's just,
you're a little paranoid on this one.
I'm not paranoid. It's just that it's just unusual. It's unusual. I'm not paranoid because I don't think that he's
going
to have.
By the way, Brent Musburger's not going to be going. He's 79 years old. He's not going to be hanging out at Raiders practices. I mean, are you kidding me?
Oh, my goodness.
Not when the sports book is humming at Bally's. He's not going to be hanging out at Raiders practice.
I don't even know if Bally's is still around. But
not when he's got to keep an eye on the
horseshoe.
Right. The fourth race at Pimlico from the Sahara.
The Sahara, that's good. I know the Sahara's gone. Anyway, man.
Just because he's having cocktails with Mo Green doesn't mean that he's a degenerate. Does anybody get the Mo Green reference? Do any of you guys get the Mo Green reference? Come on.
Oh, man.
Help me out. Kyle, do you know it?
Mo
Green's from The Godfather.
Oh, okay.
Got shot in the eye while I was getting a massage.
Oh, man, that's good, D-Mac. That is so good.
He's dealing with Hyman Roth. That's a whole other story, though. The Rosado brothers.
All right, man. Anyway, Brent Musburger.
That's some Hank Brockmeyer for you right there, Big Sexy. Oh, my boy. My boy. Shot him like Sonny.
Wilmer Valderrama, that must have hurt.
Wilmer Valderrama wasn't in The Godfather. Huh. My Godfather references. All right, Brett Musburger. Well, there you go. That's funny.
There you go. There you go. Anyway, just it was one of my big three at 3:30 stories that we couldn't get to. But anyway, that was.
Here's Baker Mayfield yelling to the fans.
Dilly dilly to the Cleveland fans. Yeah, that's, you know, comes with it. But it's not the only win we're going to celebrate. You know, it's a building block for us. Did some good things, but there's still a lot we can work on. And that's the great part about it. We're nowhere near where we want to be, but we're in a good spot right now to, you know, build a foundation and keep going.
Yeah, here's what the funny part about Baker Mayfield is. He's not used to losing. So, listen, man, I understand it was a big deal and everybody was all excited, but Baker Mayfield hasn't been losing 19 straight games. Baker Mayfield lost 4 games total in his entire career at Oklahoma over 3 years, Al. And Baker Mayfield's a freaking winner. He always has been. So, to win for Baker Mayfield is like you've always said, I expected to be here in the Super Bowl, right? I used to play high school in front of 40,000 people.
Yeah, no big deal.
You were shocked.
I walked into my first game at CU like, okay.
You played for national championships in consecutive years. You got to the shocking moment for you is how professionals accepted losing in Cincinnati. Winning for you is just what you did. So winning for Baker Mayfield, that's just what this guy does. That's why when you saw like a guy like, Jay Cutler, who went to Vanderbilt. Now, I know John Elway didn't have a sterling collegiate win-loss record. But if you're not used to winning, if it's not that big of a deal, then it's just not that big of a deal. You want guys who have come from a tradition of winning. And getting a win or a big win isn't a shock. This is...
But it doesn't translate to the NFL.
This is the summer blockbuster, not the Disney story. This isn't Rudy.
Yeah, but Danny Warfel won at Florida, and he didn't do nothing in the NFL.
I want athletes that, you know, were stars in the Black Panther and the Avengers. I want guaranteed, you know, superstars.
Matt Leinart hasn't panned out for him, a guy who won a lot of games in college.
The truth of the matter is, this is the real truth of the matter. Case Keenum's like Rudy. He's not a summer blockbuster. He's the Rudy story.
Oh, my goodness.
He wrote
an
entire book about it.
Oh, wait a minute, D-Mac.
His entire book is about that.
I'm going to give you a few seconds. Not a few minutes. I'm going to give you a few seconds to take back those statements that you believe that Case Keenum is our Rudy.
Why would I take it back?
I'm going to give you 3, 2, 1. Now, take it back.
No. He's our Rudy. Adam Jones is our Jamie Moyer.
I can go with you on Jamie Moyer and Adam Jones.
The blockbuster guy we have is Von Miller. Von's the Black Panther. He's the Avengers.
He's Iron Man.
He's that guy.
He's Wolverine.
He's a blockbuster. He's going to make you a $500 million internationally. He's going to be big in China. It's going to be everything. Case Keenum is you know,
he's Rudy,
sleeping
huh?
in the if janitor movie- closet because he set a key to make sure the window was open. And he's...
So, wait a minute. So
Sean Astin.
So, in terms of quarterbacks, you would say that our quarterback is Rudy.
And I love Rudy, you know, but
who
it's...
Who is Cam Newton?
He's the Black Panther. He's the Avengers. He's the superstar. He's the Will Smith in a movie. He's it.
Okay, you're saying larger than knew he was a larger than life character, and he's lived up to it.
Yeah. Rudy's are great. Rudy's are awesome.
Tom
Brady is a Rudy. I love it when everybody cites Tom Brady.
What'd you call Drew Brees?
It's like
what'd you call Drew Brees, who's going to be the all-time leading passer NFL history?
I say to people, I'm in radio, and they go, oh, are you like Howard Stern? I'm like, no. Actually, I'm not. That'd be awesome, but I'm not. There are other
levels.
So
who is Drew Brees then?
Drew Brees is a surprise hit. He's like a movie that comes out in February. You didn't expect much, but it becomes a big hit.
Around
he's not
May.
Rudy.
Around
he's not
May.
Rudy.
Around May, the movie is.
Yeah, he's not Rudy.
Made $100 million.
Yeah, but it's
But Peyton Manning is Black Panther,
yes!
Spider-Man,
yes!
Titanic.
This is the drive on the fan.